What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Versillo. Joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Shams Benamore. Shams, how are you doing this fine Thursday evening?
No, man, it's going good. It just feels like, I don't know about the weather is for you, but like I'm starting to realize that my heavy hoodie is not cutting it anymore, so we're getting into the cold weather. Finally starting to feel like winter's coming, so in it for the thick of it with hockey.
It's still short season for me here, and by that I mean it's in the 30s, but whatever. First up, let's hop to some of the injuries and outjuries. It looks like the long-awaited return of Zach Hyman is very close. He's not playing tonight, Thursday, but they expect him to be back in the lineup on Saturday. This is exciting. I don't think he's available anywhere. But who might this hurt when the lines shift around?
So I think really the thing to keep in mind is that I think everyone, like, we were thinking at the start of the Roslovic trade was going to last until Hyman comes around. But we have to remember that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is also injured. It was always said to be about a week, but we haven't heard an update since then. So Roslovic will probably be the one that takes the biggest hit, because he'll probably lose his power play when everyone's healthy. But don't rush to cut Roslovic right away, because until Ryan Nugent-Hopkins comes back, I could still see him keeping the power play for now.
That's a good point. And I think the guy who's going to lose out on the first line will either be Andrew Mangiapane or Matt Savoie, is it? Or is it Savoie? I think it's Savoie. My French is not very good.
I want to say it's Savoie, but like if it was French, but well, someone will correct us.
Yes, someone tell me what the correct pronunciation is. I don't usually have the pronunciation guide up during the show. Either way, one of McDavid's wingers is losing out. They really haven't been doing a ton anyway. I mean, McDavid is McDavid, and it seems like he's in on goals, but it's not always the same guys helping him out. Some injuries. The Leafs have a handful of injuries. Auston Matthews will miss about a week. Potentially less. That's always a good sign, because that probably means two or three games tops. And then did Anthony Stolarz get hurt also? I don't see that tweet here, but I think I remember seeing him go day to day.
Yes, he's also injured. It's day to day. So right now they have Hildeby. And then interestingly enough, they called up someone other than Wall. But the understanding is that Wall most likely will be in a position to be able to come back on the weekend. So it's one of those situations where Hildeby for now, but it looks like that Wolves going to be close to probably start taking the mantle. And then when Stolarz is back, we'll finally be in a position where we have the two goalies that we were expecting to start when we were looking at the Leafs.
Wall was on a conditioning stint, I believe. So they may just not think he's ready. It's Hildeby starting tonight, I suspect. Hildeby gets the next game unless Wall is ready. Not much going on. I think that goalie situation is going to be not fun for the rest of the year. I don't think Stolarz has done enough to cement a 1A position. So it may be one of those 50-50s that you might not want a part of in fantasy. Speaking of other goalie situations, Thatcher Demko is going to miss 2 to 3 weeks with a minor injury. It's unrelated to his previous knee injury and also unrelated to why he took maintenance days last week, which honestly makes me feel worse, because that sounds like he keeps getting injured over and over again. Do you want Kevin Lankinen? Probably, if he's going to start all the games. I don't have high hopes for save percentage and wins, though. What do you think, Shams?
Yeah, I'm kind of scared of, like, it's one of those situations, if you just want, like, a guy that, like, it's going to play volume, sure, go ahead. But like when I was like looking at this news, I'm like, oh, should I rush to get Lankinen? And then I saw the next two games are against Carolina and Tampa Bay. And I'm like, you know what? I might try to add Lankinen on the Friday when he plays. And then if someone jumps me, I'll live without it. And that's what happened to Kekupful. So like it's one of the situations where maybe like the whole team feels injured, so it's not like a situation where it's just like the backups coming into a healthy team and it's going to get the support. So this is one of those situations, if you want starts, here it is, but it could easily turn into a situation where like multiple in a row blow up in your face. So you're going to have the stomach to be able to take it.
I decided I wasn't interested in adding him anywhere. He was owned in one of my leagues where I do kind of need goalie help. Everywhere else, I have a lot of Spencer Knight shares this year, so he was one of my guys going into the season. That really helps the goalie situation when you have a late round hit like that. And you mentioned that the Canucks are constantly injured. One of the guys is Quinn Hughes, is day-to-day. Status for tomorrow, Friday, is TBD. That would certainly put a hit to Kevin Lankinen's value because Hughes is a do-it-all 25-minute-a-night defenseman. I would be scared to start a goalie without him. Maybe you'll get a lot of shots against. Another guy who's hurt for the Canucks is Drew O'Connor. I don't think that makes any difference. Was he even playing in the top six?
Well, the problem is that they seem to be switching their lines. So probably at one point he was, at one point he's not. So like, really, we're in a position now that like, I basically stopped caring about who's where on the Canucks. It's like, I basically was just going to ride with the performance because right now with all the injuries and like random underperformances, is that basically look at like Carolina and assume that there's no line set other than that Pettersson's going to get the most minutes. And then after that, it's just a guess.
Shuffling some things around on our lineup card here, Sham. So sorry for throwing you out of sorts. Alex Nedeljkovic is on a leave of absence, leaving Yaroslav Askarov as the starter. I actually think we're coming up upon Askarov taking that starting job for good. He's been really good this month, even though they're alternating starts. He's been much more consistent than Ned and is obviously the touted goalie prospect, the future of that Sharks team. Do you agree with me here, or am I jumping the gun on that?
I think we got to the point where it's now, I believe it's like three or four games of great performance, because what was my issue with him at the start is I drafted him and ended up dropping him because we had that weird mix of splitting starts, and then he wasn't consistently having good games. I believe off of right now, he had like a really strong performance of just like having, yeah, he's 4-0 and had a 9.63 save percentage. And the best part of it all is that this is not one of those situations where it's like Carolina where, yeah, he stopped 12 shots. He's getting peppered by shots and saving most of them. So you're getting best of both worlds. And, like, I know it's the Sharks. They're not going to be, you know, the top threat of the league. But, like, we actually have win equity as well. So depending on the situation, like, I'm not going to guarantee he keeps the net when Ned is back, but at the very least, he has a strong position to at least be like the 1A and then potentially take it over. Because to keep in mind, the way it was said is that it's not a long-term leave of absence, so it's not going to be like wool that's been gone for months. So kind of tempered the expectations there, but at the very least, he's playing well enough that like I'm fine to have him for any start against any opponent and just ride with it.
I think I'm ready to speculatively add him. And if he starts seeding starts to Ned, then drop him. But yeah, I want him for all of his starts. If he's on your waiver wire, I'd be adding him. I think, unfortunately, people snagged him up for the stream on Tuesday and obviously aren't dropping him if he's playing most of the games for now. But keep an eye when Ned comes back. If he gets dropped, I may be sneaking Askarov onto my roster in a few redraft leagues. Up next, a trio of injuries. Val Nichushkin is week to week. Brandon Hagel, I don't think I saw a timeline on it, but he only played three shifts last game, which is never good. And then Thomas Chabot left last game with injury, is not playing tonight, and is still being evaluated. Anybody who benefits from these jams, or who are you looking at from these injuries?
I think the number one for me is that Gavin Brindley looks interesting. I don't remember his draft stock, but at the very least, he seems to be a fan within the team and actually recently got an extension. So basically, the coach was asked, like, how are they going to play without Nichushkin? And he just said, Gavin Brindley. And, like, he's already on the second line. So, like, obviously, he's not playing with McKinnon, but still a top six. And the way that they flash around with the power play, maybe he sneaks in there because, like, they always cycle stuff around. But, like, depending on where you are in your leagues where maybe a second-line player has value, that's a person that's interesting. And if I remember correctly, they do have a schedule where you could get like, you know, maybe a Sunday savior, because we're already playing today, so you won't have him now. But someone to keep an eye on, that like, he's playing with good players. He has some pedigree on his own that maybe he might be able to do something, especially since it's the week a week and we don't know the extent of the Hagel and Chabot injury to, you know, invest too much on their replacements.
I'm cautiously interested in whoever Nichushkin's replacement is. I've said before, I think Colorado is pretty weak outside of their top line. Like, I don't really want anyone who's not playing with McKinnon at even strength or on the power play. If Brindley ends up in one of those spots, I'm kind of interested. Like you said, he was a pretty high draft choice. He was an early second rounder, and he also was recently acquired. Like, Colorado went out there and traded for him. So that generally bodes well for how an organization views someone if they're willing to receive them as part of a trade and they're still a young prospect. Not super interested, but it's worth a shot. Other guys who are completely on the other end of prospect intrigue, Vegas called up Braden Bowman to play on their second line and first power play tonight. Unfortunately, that game hasn't started, but I will tell you that neither myself nor Shams nor our resident prospect expert Ryan Downey knew who he was when this happened and we posted it in our internal chat. So this is a real deep cut. I did some research. He's a 22-year-old. He was an undrafted free agent. He has 7 goals and 5 assists in 12 games in the AHL this year, but he also has those 7 goals on 16 shots, so that's like a 40-something percent shooting percentage. I did read somewhere that he's taken on a bit of a power play specialist role in Henderson, which could be why they called him up here. Vegas's power play has been much maligned since Mark Stone went out. Would you be adding Braden Bowman, Shams? I was kind of tempted in a couple places and have had to hold my itchy trigger finger.
Yeah, these kind of guys are like, I'm so tempted because like Dorofiev was like, no one was expecting him to do anything last year. And then he just ended up like becoming a goal scorer or just like started to light it up. But like, it's one of the situations where it was like, I only have so many moves. I don't have obvious cuts. I'm like, I'm talking myself out of adding him. It's one of those, like, I feel like basically you're going to be listening to this podcast and you're going to know that if he did everything or nothing, I just like, I know it's like usually somewhere in between, but I feel like this guy is going to be like the hottest thing since sliced bread, or he's going to be like healthy scratched by the next game. So like, if you're a fan of variants, this guy is your guy.
I ultimately decided not to add him in my redraft leagues for exactly that reason. There's no guarantee he plays more than one game, even with William Karlsson week to week. I think they may rotate through a couple different guys. I think this is a reward for good play at a lower level to a young guy. I don't think this is a sign that he's their first choice of call-ups. That being said, I do have claims in on him in 2 different dynasty leagues right now, partially because I'm in compete now mode and have empty minor spots in those leagues. So I'm like, free guy to stash in my minor spot that I can call up and get more points from. We can try that. But yeah, I'm not calling him the next great thing. Honestly, even if he goes on a 5-game point streak or something to start his career, I'll still be a bit skeptical just because he's completely unheralded. Excited to see him play, though. I'm interested. Best I can tell, and this is from scouring some scouting reports because I can't find any data on it, I think he's going to hit quite a bit. So he may be one of those guys that hits and is the fifth wheel on power play one, which could be moderately interesting. That's what Emmett Finney was for a little bit this year. It's what a couple of the Vegas guys have done. So I don't know. Maybe worth looking at. Next up, we've got some healthy scratches, I guess. Not a scratch, but Elvis Merzlikins is healthy, but Jet Greaves is now starting his 3rd game in a row. The weird thing is Greaves hasn't even played particularly well in those last 2 games. And then Andre Kuzmenko is a healthy scratch today, which seems like a repeating theme with this guy. He does not stay on coach's good sides very easily. He's been, this now his 4th team, and I think he's been healthy scratched a number of times at his other stops. What do you think of these two situations?
Well, the interesting thing is that Greaves, he's right now, obviously things will change, but like right now, this is his second game out of the three against Edmonton. So it's not like he's playing against like the easiest competition and they're winning 4-2. So the fact that they played him against Edmonton on the second half of a back-to-back because of that illness and then was willing to give him another game, this is one of those situations where, like, obviously this is a different situation, but one of my kind of, it's not really a rule, but like something that piques my interest is when I see a goalie in a perceived 50-50 split get three games in a row, this is where I start, you know, paying attention, maybe listen to what the coach says post-game, you know, just kind of give it a closer eye. So like this may easily could turn back into a split, you know, just by the next set of games. But this is just something that definitely keep your eye on if you're like most people that said, hey, this is a split, I'm not going to pay attention to this team anyway for goalies. This is just a hint where something could change. And then for Kuzmenko, it's just kind of the life of Kuzmenko. He was actually benched, I forget how long, at least like I think it was the third period or the second period the game prior. So he's been bouncing around the line and this kind of thing. So we already saw the team's thought on Kuzmenko, because even when he was playing well the year prior, they only signed him to a one-year contract to just kind of show that they weren't like all in on him. So this is just kind of the high and low. So like I'm definitely tough on players that like get scratched, even like high pedigree guys. Like I was telling people to cut Coronado when he was like not in a set position, like when he was getting healthy scratch. So, and I like Coronado as a player much more than Kuzmenko. So like, this is just a sign of just give up on him, just let it be. And then if something happens, I'm willing to be wrong. Sometimes you just have to cut a player and there's a percentage chance he might do something, but like, this is a low enough percentage for me that if he goes off, I am happy for him, and I'm just going to be wrong in that scenario instead of trying to play the game of guessing, is this going to be the game that he finally picks it back up?
I totally agree with you on Kuzmenko. I have him in streamer territory regardless. He's really only interesting to me in four-game weeks when he's on power play one, which, again, are two things that aren't happening very often. I do say I completely disagree with you on the Greaves take. I think my read into this is Merzlikins is healthy, air quotes. Like, he's healthy enough to get on the ice, but maybe he's recovering from a stomach virus. Columbus had something go around the room. Not sure if it was the flu or COVID or food poisoning or whatever. But my guess is maybe he lost some body weight. Maybe he's not feeling 100%. That's my take on it.
Oh, yeah. Just the one last thing is, as I said, is that this is one of those things where it's like, I'm talking about interest enough, like watch list, like check the next start, like just kind of put your eyes. Yeah, I wouldn't be rushing to add him. Like I had the potential to add him in leagues with an empty goalie spot. And like, I wasn't rushing to add Greaves because it's the third start, but I'm with you that like, it's more of just a, hey, it could be something. Let's keep an eye on it.
And to finish off a long first half, Ryan Strom and Mikael Granlund both returned for the Ducks tonight. They actually, I believe, both factored in on the same goal, despite being listed on different lines. So good for them. Granlund, I think, is a must-add if he's available. Like, look to get him in your lineup as soon as you can. Strom, I have no interest in. I'm not sure if either of them are playing power play. I know Granlund had some power play one time earlier this year, but also the Ducks have been just on fire, so maybe their view of him as a top six forward has shifted a bit. Are you adding Granlund also?
Right now, I'm basically, the biggest thing for me is that they didn't mess up with the top six. So I view this as more of a confidence gainer for the players that are already playing well. And then like, cause versus them like mucking it up, throwing, you know, having like Gauthier randomly on the third line. That was like my worry of just like, I know it's been good for so long for the Ducks where the top six is actually getting the ice time. Power play one still getting all the ice time. But the back of my brain is like, what if everyone's healthy? Are they going to go back to the mix? Like, at the first glance, it looks like the good is still staying good, and we'll have to watch out if anything changes. But this is more of a boon for the top six that's staying the top six than me being interested in Granlund or Strome.
And with that, let's take a quick break.
The NBA season tips off, and so does DraftKings' newest fantasy game. DraftKings Pick 6 is the easiest way to play for big wins, with every possession giving you a shot at real money. Here's how to play. Just pick more or less on two or more stats and unlock the upside every game brings. Pick 6 is available in Texas, California, Missouri, and more. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. Don't just watch basketball. Cash in. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call, ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Rakuten, use them to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's saving on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can choose to get paid via Interac, e-transfer, PayPal, or check. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to rakuten.ca, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's r-a-k-u-t-e-n, spells Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everyone. Now let's rattle off some hot colds. We've got a few more heavily rostered guys on the hot cold today, just because that's where my mind went. First of all, shout out to Artemi Panarin for finally joining us this season. He has 9 points in his last four games. He's shooting quite a bit too. Looks like about 3 shots per game on average. Things are looking up. The Rangers as a whole are scoring a lot. There's nothing to add here, right, Shams? Just Panarin's on someone's roster. Yay.
So I think the interesting take is that they were like just getting the wrong end of the expected goals at the start of the year. Then now they're getting like 6 goals on like 2 expected goals. So it's like one of those situations where they're on a infinite cooler. Now they're on an infinite heater. Now we're going to probably in a week or two find somewhere in between. And then these people are going to be, you know, playing somewhere as expected. So there's not really much to do, but like, hey, if someone like, I'm not sure, like maybe in your shallower league, someone's like rushing to get rid of Miller or doesn't believe this and maybe might think this is their sell high. Like maybe you might poke around, but like really what it is I think this is maybe just a sign that, you know, variance is starting to come into play and this team is not, you know, we're not talking about the Avs here, but we're not talking about absolute garbage. So they're just kind of coming back to normal.
I agree with you. It's variance doing its thing. This is the high ends. While they had some of the most absurd lows I've ever seen before with the getting shut out 5 times in their first like 7 home games. I will say if someone is selling Rangers and you are a 5-0, 4-1 type team, maybe look into buying because the Rangers have the best playoff schedule of any team. Next up on the cold streak side, we've got Dylan Guenther. He only has 1 point in his last 6 games. It's a goal. He was also relegated to power play 2 for 1 game and then straight back up. His time on ice hasn't been as high lately, but I think that's mostly because they've only had 1 power play in each of the last 2 games or 2 power plays in one of them. The good news is he's got 6 shots last game, 4 shots the game before. He's got a 3-shot game in there. How concerning is Dylan Genther's cold streak to you?
Personally, I think this is one of those situations where you have to kind of just think of just like how you feel about the team as a whole, because obviously they did really well against Buffalo, but sadly many teams are doing well against Buffalo, so I'm not sure how much I'm going to put into that. But like the previous games, they lost 4-2, 6-2, 5-3, and then they beat Buffalo like 2-1. So I feel like this is one of those situations where it's just the team as a whole is not really performing. And of course, if the team's not doing well, individual players are not going to be doing so well. So really, it is more of just kind of a, how do you feel about Utah as a whole? If you think they have the chance to be a playoff team, which I do, maybe, you know, it's a wild card or bottom of the conference for like getting in, that like they're going to turn it on at some point, or at least be, you know, less of a losing streak, then I'd be more interested and be fine with Genther and any of the top six, excluding Hayton, because Hayton just doesn't like being involved with anything. Oddly, I don't understand him, but Genther, I have no concerns.
I agree. I'm pretty high on Utah as a whole this year. My opinion hasn't changed. They get a lot of off-night games. I doubt he got dropped anywhere with a two-game week, but maybe he did. Next up, we've got a pair of Dallas Stars defensemen who seem to have flip-flopped from last year. It's really frustrating when this happens. Last year, Thomas Harley was out of nowhere, really good in fantasy, undrafted in a lot of leagues, while highly drafted Miro Heiskanen was basically a replacement level player last year. This year, their draft stock flip-flopped, and now Heiskanen's on the first power play. He is on a six-game point streak in which he has 12 points. He's getting major minutes. And then Thomas Harley, on the other hand, has 3 points in his last 10 games. He's barely shooting, which is something he was great at last year. He's down a full shot per game from last year. And he's on power play too. Like, what gives? What do you think of these guys? Is this a situation you just want no part of?
The weird thing is that, like, if I remember correctly, at the start of the year, they were hinting of like, hey, they're going to maybe mix up who's going to be the power play quarterback and do these different things and like kind of treat it like how the Devils are doing it, where depending on certain games, they might do things. But like, from what I've seen, Heiskanen has just been the power play quarterback the whole time. So I am willing, you know, obviously things can change, but like, I am willing to look at Heiskanen as the power play one and Harley distinctly the two. And that's not to say just because you're on power play two, you can't do anything. Cause like, those are the kind of guys I like. Like, for example, I'm never in a position to draft Jake Sanderson because he always goes too early for me, but I would love to take Shabbat because like, yes, he's worse than Sanderson, but like you could get him at such a discount and get like a percentage of points. So this is going to be one of those situations where I'm not 100% sure I'm willing to drop him because, like, the team as a whole is getting healthier. I find, like, they're just destroying the Habs right now. So, like, just one of those situations that the offensive power is coming around that, like, even if he doesn't get points today, Harley just could kind of, like, just by getting all the ice time, get involved. But I am willing to say, as of now, he's the clear second fiddle, and I'm not putting any hope of him like usurping unless there's an injury or something of the sort.
I tend to agree with you. I think the main reason they haven't employed that preseason plan of ride the hot hand is because Heiskanen's been the hot hand the whole season. I mean, Dallas's power play is second in the league. They're running at 33%. If you're running a 30%+ power play, you're going to win a lot of games. And why mess with what's working? Now, maybe if their power play goes cold, Harley will worm his way back in there. But it's kind of hard waiting on that to happen. So for now, I'm just treating Harley as a bit of a sunk cost. I agree I'm not ready to drop him, but he's probably the fourth best defenseman or third best defenseman on your team. That's how it goes sometimes. I will say I drafted four defensemen. I was actually emphasizing D this year. The two I drafted early kind of suck. The two I drafted late are great, one of them being Heiskanen. So, you know, it balances out in the wash, I guess. Another cold streak. This is a notorious streaky player. Pavel Dorofeev has 1 point in his last 5 games. He is shooting quite a bit. He's still on the power play, which, as we mentioned earlier, has been awful. Even last year, he was a streaky player. He'd score goals in bunches and then go cold for games. Anything to do here but just wait it out?
Yeah, the thing to keep in mind is that he still keeps that power play one spot He's playing with Hurdle, which is, you know, a clear second line. So, like, I'm at the point where it's just kind of, you have to live with it. I'm not sure what kind of trade you're going to get that, like, you get anywhere close to the potential value. So this is just kind of eat the vegetables, just live on. And with the understanding that, like, I was talking about, like, Harley, like, the ceiling is dead. Now, that's not this case with Dorofiev, is that there is a situation where, you know, Stone comes back at some point, or Bowman does something, or they find some sort of combination. They have too many good players, in my opinion, for this power play to be not good. And we've already seen him being able to get those great power play goals that, like, I am still interested in him with the understanding that I can't tell you when this cold streak's going to end.
He was a bit of a power play specialist even last year. I mean, 13 of his 35 goals were on the power play. And basically, once he ascended to power play one, he really never gave it back. I think that would be the one concern, is if the streak goes so deep that with all of those really good players, and, you know, he's got that left-handed one-timer the way Shea Theodore does, if all of a sudden you rotate him off that left flank and onto power play two, then I might consider dropping him. But for now, that doesn't look to be happening. Another hot streak. Jackson Blake has 4 points in his last four games. He has 4 and 3 shots his last two games. And he's playing a line with Nick Ehlers, who's really been elevating that second unit. I don't understand it, but it was the same way in Winnipeg. Ehlers just does better as a second line player. Maybe it's being the one with the puck more often. Maybe it's staying away from the opponent's top defensive players. But it does seem like separating him from Aho has given both lines a boost here.
Yeah, it's just kind of one of those situations where, like, Blake is kind of in the same scenario now that Svechnikov is on the top power play. He's on the second line that, like, you know, your leagues where if a second line, second power play person has value, this is one of those better versions of those players that I'd be happy to ride him. The team's going to be good enough that he's going to fall into points even with just kind of the situation.
Last but not least, a pair of cold streaks from the Minnesota Wild. Joel Eriksson-Ek has 2 assists in his last 5 games and 4 assists in his last 8. That's not very hot for playing on the top power play in the top line. Marco Rossi, their second line center, has 1 goal in his last 5 games following a pretty lengthy point streak. Is Rossi a drop, first of all? And what's the concern factor on the rest of Minnesota, especially given that their hot start was almost entirely fueled by an insane power play percentage the first 5 or 7 games?
So on the Rossi part, I ended up dropping him in my home league, which is shallow. And keep in mind, it's a categories league, so a random assist here or there is not as valuable to me because he's not really hitting up the stat sheet. So he's kind of one of those guys where if he starts pointing, like, he has to point pretty frequently to give you value because he's not giving you anything else. And with this cold streak in your shallow leagues, I'm willing to give him up. And then the thing, though, is that I'm kind of interested still in Eriksson-Ek just because of he still does stuff. And the nice thing is that he's playing with Kaprizov and Zuccarello. So, like, hopefully Zuccarello, he's been already showing that he's been interesting once he's coming back. So hopefully with the more ice time, he just gets more into form and then that line can start performing. But, like, if you're playing with Kaprizov, I'm interested in you. Basically, that was my whole stint with, I think last week I was talking up Marcus Johansson. It wasn't that I was a Marcus Johansson fan. I was a fan of people that play with Kaprizov.
I'm with you there. I'm starting to rotate Rossi out. Basically, once he lost the first power play, I was kind of, he's on thin ice and he hasn't done anything since then. So, but yeah, I'm not dropping Eriksson-Ek, obviously. It is kind of interesting, though, how Kaprizov power play bender fueled some of that team's hot starts is. I know I saw someone who had, I think, stacked Boldy, Kaprizov, and Eriksson-Ek on a team and put up some insane fantasy point numbers in the first 2 weeks and is now like a 3-2 team, lost 2 of their last 3. So you got to ride the wave as it goes. With that, thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron. where super supporters receive ad-free episodes, and you can interact with Brian, Elon, myself, Shams, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. Check out gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without having to slog through the rest of Twitter. It includes team-by-team and searchable tweets by player name. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, Dauber, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.